You're tuned in to the Muni Muni Stories podcast. In today's episode, we deep dive into this one-of-a-kind tribute album to Hot Dog called Muling Kagat. We discuss the initiative with its producer, Paolo Garcia, who is also the son of the late Dennis Garcia, one of the founders of Hot Dog and a proponent of Manila Sound. We analyze the song Manila and see if it has changed through time. This episode, in one way or another, makes us rethink how music can be a means to come back home and stay. This is the Muni Muni Stories podcast.
Ating kayamanan dapat ay ingatan, ating mga awit ngayon at kailanman. Aawitin, yayakapin, iingatan ngayon at kailanman. Ating kayamanan, OPM
Okay, welcome to this episode. Hi, Paolo. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So yeah, but before we deep dive dun nga sa mga sinabi ko kanina sa intro, syempre we wanted to have an idea coming from the son of one of the proponents of Manila Sound. To your head or to the younger audience, because we also understand that you create your own music. How will you introduce Hot Dog and Manila Sound? And maybe can you share a brief history of the band, if you have any idea?
Okay, so Hot Dog is a band that came about in the early mid-70s. Consisted of my dad, Dennis Garcia, who was a songwriter and the bassist, my tita Rene, who was the lead vocalist and the guitarist. The band also included Lori Ilustre, Montoralba, Jess Garcia, and Ella Del Rosario. That was the original lineup. So you mentioned the Manila Sound. The Manila Sound was kind of, this hodgepodge of different flavors, very pop-oriented, soft rock at times, you know, catchy lyrics, taglish lyrics. And it was a force to be reckoned with in the 70s as what I was told.
And I think up until this day, even if, let's say, Gen Z people or the millennials weren't really alive during that time, pag narinig nila yung mga kanta ng Hot Dog or yung mga kanta ng mga musicians during that time, it will really ring a bell kasi na-transfer siya from one generation to another. They're still airplay for those songs, and I think that's a testament as well of how timeless these songs were and are, and how these songs are still relevant up until today. Given that, like what I've said din kanina, you're also a music creator. Do you remember any influences your dad and your tito might have shared with you while you were growing up? And who were these artists? How were they introduced to you? And are these artists some of your favorites up until today?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, Dad introduced me to a lot of the music of the 70s. So artists like Stevie Wonder, Sergio Mendez, Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, groups like that. And yes, I do still listen to them to this day.
Awesome! And yun nga, na-share niya sa iyo. Nagagamit nyo pa rin in one way or another. We're now deep diving into your work. It's quite different then from the work your dad and uncle had during that time. Basing on the videos that I saw on YouTube, you tend to collaborate with a lot of artists in the music that you create and in the music that you perform.
Right.
Are there some learnings he shared with you when you started to create your own music? And maybe to also introduce the public to your own music. Any similarities and differences from the creation process itself to the sound and all of that?
Okay. So basically, yeah, it's just two different realms, two different generations. Dad grew up, you know, listening to a lot of classic rock. Before Hot Dog was formed, they had a band called Red Fox, which was mostly covers of, you know, classic rock at the time, Led Zepp, Cream, Jimi Hendrix, etc. Mm-hmm. With me, I grew up with a more hip-hop inclined background growing up in the 90s. You know, aside from the rapping, which I was doing for a time, I eventually got into production, which is with the beats in hip-hop, it's usually sample-based, meaning galing sa plaka yan. They'll take bits and fragments from old records and bring it forward and add drums underneath and whatnot. So that's basically where I found my calling, you know, just in the production realm. Mm-hmm. In terms of production and being in the studio, being around Dad as a kid, you know, that was definitely a big influence, seeing how things worked in the studio, you know, recording a vocal or a live drum track or what have you, right? Mm-hmm. So definitely the process, the recording process and production in general, Dad was a big influence. But the backgrounds and the tastes, they tend to vary because of the generation gap.
What I liked about what you said, even if siguro, explicit ba yun? When you were watching your dad do his own work, talagang, or na-absorb, parang sinasama ka ba niya during these times when he was working? And I also like the fact that even if you had exposure to this type of music or napapanood mo how yung daily grind, kumbaga, nung how Hot Dog was creating their own music, you still stuck to your own taste and absorbed also ano ba yung influences during that time when you were growing up, which was hip-hop heavy and all of that.
Right.
Going back to that question, during the times when you saw your dad doing the daily grind, explicit ba yun? Sinasama ka talaga? And then you were...
Yeah. The thing is, like, in the 90s, Dad set up the studio in the house.
Oh!
Downstairs, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, you know, just a short distance away. So I'd walk in on sessions, you know, and observe and see how, you know, they capture the audio, how the mixing process would go, what kind of hardware was involved and whatnot. So, yeah, it was at home. So I was around it often.
Ang galing. Thank you for sharing that bit, that it was easy for you to really observe. Now going to our second theme, of course, one of the hits that we can consider timeless is the song Manila. But for you, as a listener also, what does Manila the city mean to you? And another level to that question, what does Manila the song mean to you?
Well, Manila is definitely one of those, you know, anthemic songs that Dad and them cooked up back in the 70s. The song actually came about because, you know, like I said before, Hot Dog, there was the band Red Fox, and in 1973, Red Fox had a stint in Hawaii for about a year. It was a contract for about a year of performances, and I think Dad started getting homesick and feeling, you know, like he was missing Manila. So that's kind of how it came about when they got back to Manila after Hawaii. They formed Hot Dog, and that was one of the songs he had in mind, you know, stemming from that feeling he had in Hawaii of missing home. And yeah, for me, it's like, it's just one of those, like you said, timeless tunes that, you know, for a lot of people who grew up in that era, it can bring back a lot of nostalgia, you know?
Yun nga, katulad din ng sinabi ko kanina, parang, it's amazing how songs can bring you back to certain places or certain memories.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, right, right. Even smell, scents, and, you know, different feelings and thoughts, right?
So, I think if, in this case, kung, like what you've mentioned, when you shared the story of the creation process of Manila, your dad created the song while he was overseas, while he was in Hawaii, that same feeling is said or expressed through the song. And as a listener, you also get to have a sense of that feeling as well. So the song is a way of us or people going back to how we remember Manila. But at the same time, it's also a means to express that feeling. Hindi ko alam how music does that. Do you have any song that has that same feeling for you? Any song off the bat of your head right now na can make you remember?
Nostalgic?
Sorry? Yes?
Like nostalgia.
Yeah.
Nostalgic. Oh, man. There are all kinds of songs for that. For me, it's mostly the stuff from the 90s, you know? If I hear... Because, like I said, that was the era that I grew up in. That was the decade for me that, you know, that stands out. So, I don't know. I guess if I hear something like Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. I remember my grade school, there was like a food festival and we performed the dance number. It was just me and my friend Gio, the two of us, like a duo. We hired a choreographer and everything. So yeah, that's one song. Whenever I hear it, it kind of brings me back to that evening when we performed. You know, I was kind of nervous and, you know, I had the jitters and all of that.
Hot Dog also collaborated with artists and different vocalists throughout the years, including another featured artist in our podcast, which is Jaja Padilla. Do you have any idea how these collaborations happened throughout the years?
I think Jaja Padilla came about in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people know that there were collabs with Mam Celesta as well in the 70s.
Ooh.
I guess it was just like, you know, the industry at the time was pretty tight-knit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Circles ran within circles. So, you know, collaboration is really a means of growing as an artist, you know, kind of digging other people's palette and they have to offer, right? So, yeah, in terms of collaboration, I think it was just, you know, being in the same music circles, what brought these people together.
Okay, on your own context, like what I've mentioned in kanina, you tend to collaborate with a lot of people, including in this tribute album, diba? You collaborated in most of the tracks, if not all. How did you choose who to collaborate? Paano? And as an artist, ano yung internal gauge mo? Oh, I heard this person. I think she or she is good. What makes you think, or ano yung idea that pops in your head? Oh, I want to collaborate with this person. Right.
Well, first and foremost, all the collabs on the album, these are really just friends of mine, you know? In terms of why the collab, I guess it depends on what the song calls for, right? If I'm looking for a more jazzy kind of bass on this track, I'll reach out to this friend. You know, if it's a more funk-driven, you know, upbeat, whatever, I'll reach out to this guy and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's how it went about.
I like the parallelism na, like what you've said, even before your dad collaborated with these artists, because they moved around the same circle, they pretty much, siguro, they liked working with each other and they liked how this artist sounded like. So, he or she was invited, or maybe the other way around. And in your own effort as well, this parallelism is reflected through this tribute album. So, in terms of the process, like what you have said, hindi naman siya super strict na, oh, I want to collaborate with this person. You still dependent, right? You still depended on how this artist sounded like and how he or she may bring his or her contribution. And in this contribution, magkakaroon ng ibang take. And syempre, we would want that to make these tracks fresh. Aside from the fact na nga that they are your friends, and in terms of how they sounded like, you really appreciated their contribution. What else? Per song ba? Per song in the tribute album in Muling Kagat, it was quite automatic for you. Oh, I think this person fits well in this song and all of that. Or how was the process? Medyo mag-deep dive na tayo sa Muling Kagat. How was the process in terms of, number one, finalizing the track list for this album? Number two, assigning or thinking of the person that will do that particular track? And number three, why make the tribute album? Why commemorate the work through having this one-of-a-kind tribute album?
Okay, I'll start with number three. Obviously, I wanted to do the album because Dad passed away this year as well, last January. And I really wanted to, you know, make sure that he was not forgotten and all the music he made was not in vain. So, question number one, I really wanted to compile the more unsung and overlooked Hot Dog tunes, since everyone already knows the hits and all the anthems. So this is really a collection of music, maybe came out as singles on 45 only, not including any albums, or they weren't chosen singles, you know, of albums. And also collabs that Dad did for other people, you know, stuff he produced for other people, so, or he wrote for other people. So I put all of that together. Question two, sorry, I'm not going in order, but
okay.
Idea is there. So I think it makes sense this way. So how I chose the artist, I guess, soon as I came up with a track list, I just reached out to the ones I knew would deliver the way I wanted to. So we started recording as early as February, a month after Dad passed. And unfortunately, the pandemic happened. So they kind of put things on hold. You know, the first 2 months of the pandemic, I was kind of in this like hopeless state, like wonder, because the project got put on hold. So I was kind of feeling like, man, I don't know where this is going. But, you know, after a month or two, I realized that I would have to continue it by just collaborating with people who recorded remotely online from their home. And they'd send me files back and forth and, you know, thank God that by July it was done.
Good thing that you also said na yun din yung impression, medyo mabilis lang pala to. I mean, how long was the process? So you started working on it starting February?
February. I devoted the month of June to mixing and mastering it so that by July it'd be out. Actually, you know, there are three tracks on this album that are old recordings already that I did a while back. Such as Pandesal Sa Umaga with Army Milyare. That was recorded in 2013. And I never put it out, so I decided to throw it into this project instead.
Ang galing nun. I was amazed with the idea that 2013, we didn't know yet that this tribute album will come to life. But you had something in the back burner to include to this album. So that, as a music fan and as a listener, ngayon ko din nakikita na in terms of the creation process of certain efforts, hindi siya talaga planado.
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, yeah, it's planned. At least you have, I think, a general structure or a general perspective of how you would like a particular initiative to look like, to sound like. But eventually, there are happy surprises along the way.
Right,
like
right.
What you said na this track with Army, yung Pandesal Sa Umaga, it was ready 2013 pa lang, but since it's connected to this tribute album, you decided to put it in that effort as well.
Labas mo na yan, ikalat mo na, di ba?
Yeah, and I also like the fact that in Muling Kagat is really a one-of-a-kind tribute album. We know that throughout the years, there were a lot of efforts already to remember, to memorialize, to give tribute to the contribution of a hot dog. What makes this special is the fact that, number one, hindi siya love letter, but it's like that in its most basic sense, parang giving tribute to the work of your dad in a language that you both understood because you are both creators and musicians. And aside from the fact, aside from that personal anecdote, yung pangalawang thing that makes this special is the fact that you really made sure that you will veer away from the hits. Because
right.
A body of work of a certain artist is not just confined to what was popular. In order for us to better understand the artist, you also need to see ano pa ba yung mga iba niyang ginawa. And that also makes us have a better perspective or have a better take of that, of the contribution of that artist. And thirdly, and I think it makes Hot Dog current, honestly, to the tracks that you selected and through the approach. I don't know the technical terms for it. Kasi iniba mo yung arreglo, you added beats to it, and that now is also an extension. It's also a different take. It's also an extension of keeping the memory, keeping that contribution alive. Medyo kinikilabutan ako right now. Siyempre, when you collaborated with the artist in Muling Kagat, you know how this person sounded like. But of course, you had your own takes to it as the music producer. Can you give examples? Ano yung mga added things that you placed in some of the tracks in that tribute album?
Well, I think the best tribute works are the ones where they kind of stay true to the artist's idea, but they also leave a mark on it, you know, put a stamp. Mm-hmm. Like you said, bringing it forward, making it palatable to today. So, yeah, a lot of those tracks I flip, you know, they're totally, some are totally different from the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, Dad was really, I would say, Hot Dog, it's really about, I don't know, pop music, right? So mm-hmm. this is my take on pop sensibilities, but, you know, throwing in jazz in the mix and funk mm-hmm. in the mix and lovers rock reggae even mm-hmm. you know what I mean, it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
I try to keep it as open as possible. I'm not trying to get boxed into one thing. I am a music lover in general, so you know, I'll represent the whole spectrum, all mm-hmm. the colors and whatnot. So yeah, that's what I wanted to do, you know, take Dad songs and put my stamp on it, really.
And it, like what I've said, it's a good way of extending the legacy. But at the same time, it's you. You're not deviating from your own artistry as a creator, which is very, very important in collaborations and in doing efforts like this. Na hindi siya necessarily cover eh, kasi you're really making sure that it's your own. But at the same time, you're not taking away the essence of these songs.
Right on.
Right. We're down to our last two questions. How do you see the music landscape in the Philippines or in general moving forward after all of this? We're still in quarantine right now, right? Siguro, which is also a good jumping point, yung sinabi niyo kanina that you created this effort during quarantine. So given all of these realizations and continuous effort coming from creators, how do you see the music landscape, yeah, moving forward?
It's pretty evident now that the thing to do is to go online, right? You have all these live shows now streaming online. This podcast, for example, people can be streaming in the safety of their own homes. They don't have to be out in public, risking their health, or, you know, no danger involved. So obviously, the internet has played a big role and will dictate also the direction we'll all be going. You know, I know musician friends who are now like learning how to cook and selling their food online, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of the artists and the creators, it's like we'll have to take to the internet that way, you know, because safety is always a primary concern right now.
Jumping back from that thought, like what you said, even naman siguro pre-pandemic, yung may important factor na tinulong ang internet. But right now, I think it's more highlighted. Although before Spotify, right? Even before Spotify and YouTube existed. But right now, I think it's really the main platform to consume and appreciate music, right? And I also like the idea or like the thought that you just explained na artists, regardless of situations put in front of them, will still continue to create and will adapt with the available means presented to them. And this album is actually a testament to that. Na if you wanted to create or if you want to create, nothing will really stop you from that purpose. And I like the fact that creators, artists, musicians in this context are parang in one way are still making sure that they still continue on delivering their purpose. Yeah, right? And balik din tayo dun sa pandemic blues na even if there are certain limitations and restrictions, I think it shouldn't really stop us from doing what we are called to do. Going in that line, as a creator, why do you think it's important to have a Filipino music archive? If jumping from the idea that the internet is the current and the future, doon naman tayo, balik tayo dun sa idea na why is it important to have all of these stories, all of these songs in the back burner? Why should we still keep them and remember them? Why should we have a music archive?
Well, Sophia, you know I'm a vinyl record collector, right?
Yes, I saw on your Instagram.
I have my share of, you know, Filipino, Plaka Filipino stuff from back in the day. Obviously, back then, we didn't do a very good job of preserving our films, our music, you know, our culture. A lot of these records, you kind of have to dig through the rubble to find them. More so if you're talking about film. So it's important, I think, because some of this stuff you're not going to find on YouTube. You're not going to find on Spotify. You're going to have to dig for it yourself. You know, go to Cubao Expo, try to find what's left within the rubble. Like I said, it's like their films from the 40s and the 50s we'll never see. We'll only see the posters. The encuentro ni dad was, you know, with the movies, it's like when they were done screening films, they would recycle the films and turn them into torotots for New Year's. I was like, man, shaking my damn head. That's a shame. Same thing with the music. I mean, you might be able to find the vinyl, but I doubt you'll find the masters, the reel-to-reel, where they were recorded. You know, so I think it's our duty to preserve these and, you know, digitize. I mean, I'm only starting to right now digitize my collection, but you know, it's like I know there are others out there with more stuff, you know, like older stuff that, you know, the public should know about. So it's a great thing what you're doing. I see what you're doing, and big props to the Filipinas Heritage Museum for archiving these prehistoric gems, man. I know that you guys are carrying vinyl, so I'd love to drop by one day and check out the selection.
Hopefully, when all of the craziness is done. I mean, yeah, right? Like what you've said, safety first. And yeah. I like the fact that people in general see the value of remembering through keeping. Like what you've said, you're a vinyl collector. So you have some of these things in your collection. And jumping from that idea, aside from the fact that hindi na yun mababalik eh, in Tagalog, but in English, you cannot really go back to that moment, to the creation of, like, for example, the masters. That's why you should, and if you should keep these, and hindi naman natin malalaman yung magiging effect niya in the future, right? So, it's always remember to collect and keep these, and eventually remember that time. If it's, let's say, even if that song never became a hit, at least for that creator, that song was important to him or her. And you cannot take away that value. Thank you for spending roughly 30 minutes of your time with us this morning for talking to us about the legacy of your dad and this tribute album, Muling Kagat, which is, by the way, available on Bandcamp, right? Yes. So, thank you for your own music. Thank you for doing this effort for your dad and Hot Dog. Thank you for introducing a newer generation to the legacy of Hot Dog. And of course, making your own stamp to it. And before we end this episode, we will be playing a song from Muling Kagat. Stay tuned, and this is Muni Muni Stories Podcast. Thank you, Paolo. Bye.
Wee wee. Ow!
You just listened to the 7th episode of the Muni Muni Stories podcast with Paulo Garcia as our guest and Manila as our featured song. Did you like it? Kindly let us know by commenting in our social media pages on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's the Filipinas Heritage Library or the OPM Archive. Muni Muni Stories podcast is presented by the Filipinas Heritage Library, OPM Archive, and Ayala Museum. Episodes are hosted and written by FHL Sofia Santiago, and sound engineering was done by FHL's Andre Angeles.